Hi, my name is Kiwan Meng from Carnegie Mellon University, and today I'm going to talk about our new system called Chinchilla, which enables safe and efficient intermittent computing on energy harvesting devices. So this is going to be the overview of my talk. First, I'm going to talk a little bit about what is it like to program on energy harvesting devices, because some of you might not be familiar with the topic. Then I'm going to talk about our new system Chinchilla, and then I'm going to show you the evaluation result and conclusion. So first, what is it like to program on energy harvesting devices, especially what are the properties and what are the major challenges? So first, I'm going to talk about some properties of such devices. Energy harvesting devices harvest energy from its surrounding environment and use that energy to perform computation instead of relying on a battery. These devices does not need battery to operate, so it can be small and it's easier to maintain because you don't have to replace the battery and it has a lot of potentials. However, these devices run only intermittently when there is available energy. These devices has a fixed size energy buffer, which is usually a capacitor, and the system stores the temporary energy to its energy buffer. When the energy buffer is empty, of course the device is simply off, and when there is energy to harvest, the device slowly charges up its energy buffer by harvesting the energy. When the device energy buffer gets fully filled, the device turns on and starts to do useful computation, quickly discharging its energy buffer. When the energy buffer gets depleted again, the device again turns off, and all the volatile state of the device, such as states stored in register file or stack, gets erased. Well, if there were any non-volatile state of the device, such as state in FRAM or flash, it persists. This charging and discharging cycle repeats until you finish your desired application. So as you can see, the green box is where the actual computation is going on, and it is running only intermittently. So what is the problem with this intermittent execution? Intermittent execution impedes progress, and I'm going to show you with this simple example code, which goes through a loop and adds up all the elements in the array A. On the left, a status of the energy buffer is shown, and on the right, part of the memory is shown. Recall that in a traditional architecture, both memory and register file is volatile, meaning that on a system power failure, all the contents in it will get lost. So what will happen if we run this code? We will run from the beginning, we will use up some energy and update the memory, we'll use some more energy and initialize some, we go into a loop, and some gets updated, I gets updated. It works all nicely, but when the energy buffer gets depleted, the system hits a power failure, and all the contents in the memory will get erased. Now the system has lost its progress. After recharging and rebooting, the system has to simply start again from the beginning of the application, because all the results from the previous execution is gone. So this can be solved relatively easily if you place a checkpointing call to a program, as you can see in the figure. On a checkpoint, the system takes a snapshot of the volatile state before it gets erased and store it into a non-volatile storage. So let's see how checkpointing can save the day. So the system will run as before, and on a checkpoint, it takes a snapshot and store it to a non-volatile storage. So even after a power failure, a snapshot of the volatile state persists in a non-volatile storage. So after recharging and rebooting, the system can simply restore it and start from its last checkpoint instead of starting again from the beginning of the application. So as you can see, checkpointing can preserve progress even on a power failure, but it only works nicely when checkpoints are placed adequately. So now I'm going to talk about some major challenges in placing checkpoints. If there are too few checkpoints in the program, it is possible that the system may not be able to ever reach the next checkpoint before the energy buffer depletes. In this case, the system goes into non-termination, where it repeatedly tries to execute the given code without making any progress. On the other hand, if there are too many checkpoints in the program, the system will suffer from high overhead. So as you can see, placing just the right amount of checkpoint in a correct place is very important and challenging at the same time. So what did the previous work try to do to place checkpoint correctly? Some of the systems used compiler and automatically inserted a bunch of checkpoints throughout the binary. These approaches usually inserted too many checkpoints, leading to high overhead. At the same time, there was no guarantee that the system has enough checkpoints to avoid non-termination. Some other systems asked the programmer to place checkpoint in a correct place. As you can imagine, this complicates programming a lot because now the programmer has to decide where to place a checkpoint and where to not, which is not obvious to the programmer. Again, if the programmer misplaced the checkpoint, it will lead to high overhead or non-termination. Some more recent systems tried to estimate the energy use of a given code statically and place checkpoint accordingly. However, estimating the energy use of an arbitrary code statically on compile time is challenging and prone to error. This is even more true when we are talking about the energy use of the entire board that consists of multiple different sensors, circuitry, and peripherals, not only the MCU. Once again, misplaced checkpoint will lead to high overhead or non-termination. So all the prior works, in addition to being inefficient or being hard to program, always had a possibility of non-termination. So is there a simple way to eliminate non-termination statically? This led us to a new design, Chinchilla, which can assure the absence of non-termination statically while also trying to be efficient. Chinchilla consists of three key parts. Its compiler initially places the checkpoints, then its checker checks whether there are indeed enough checkpoints to eliminate non-termination. Then its runtime library tries to skip some of the unnecessary checkpoints running efficiently. So first, where do our compiler place its checkpoints? We had some desirable properties of checkpoints in mind. Checkpoints should occur frequently enough to eliminate non-termination. Also, energy consumption of codes between checkpoints should have low variance because you don't want any of the region to suddenly use up much more energy than you expected on real deployment. Also, checkpoints should be easily identified and inserted using compilers. So we decided to place checkpoints between every basic block. Basic block is a line of code that is single entry, single exit, and contains a single control flow. From our previous example, each rectangle actually indicated its own basic blocks. So our compiler places checkpoints between every basic block like this. Basic blocks are usually small, so if we place checkpoints between every basic blocks, it is usually frequent. Also, basic blocks has low variance in energy use compared to arbitrary code with a complicated control flow because basic block only contains a single control flow. Also, basic blocks can be easily identified or manipulated using compilers. So our compiler inserted a bunch of checkpoints, and we have a lot of checkpoints, but is it enough to eliminate non-termination? To answer the question, Chinchilla checker tries to statically check whether the system has possible non-termination or not. Chinchilla checker first extracts each basic block from the binary and compile each into its own executable. Then it automatically runs each basic blocks repeatedly on a real energy harvesting device and measure the energy use until it finally decides whether the basic block is using up too much energy or not. It automatically runs all the basic blocks in the program, and if a certain block turned out to be too large, the system should go back to the compiler, divide the basic blocks into smaller blocks, insert more checkpoints, and run the procedure again until it finally succeeds. So once our binary passes the checker, it means that we have a binary that is free from non-termination. However, it might still contain excessive number of checkpoints leading to high overhead. So our runtime library tries to skip some of the necessary checkpoints dynamically and checkpoint efficiently. So how do we skip unnecessary checkpoints? Our core idea comes from the fact that these energy harvesting devices should be able to run for at least certain amount of time interval when it boots with a fully filled energy buffer. Leveraging the fact, we set up a countdown timer with a certain initial value and skips any checkpoints while the timer is still counting down, like this. We skip, and we skip, and we skip, and only after the timer expires, we only then collect the checkpoint that we encounter. This enables us to skip most of the unnecessary checkpoints if the correct initial interval is chosen. Then what is the correct interval? Instead of trying to give a static value, we made our system to dynamically and adaptively find out the right interval on real actual execution by trying out multiple different intervals in a binary search manner. I'm not going to go into much detail, but you can find more details in our paper. Now, I've explained how we skip some of the necessary checkpoints, and now I'm going to talk about what do we do on actual checkpoints. Chinchilla stores the values of the register file on each checkpoint. Instead of copying the entire memory, we store most of the data in a non-volatile memory to keep the data across power failure without ever checkpointing it. However, if we use non-volatile memory, some of the changes made to the non-volatile memory should be reverted on the power failure to avoid memory inconsistency. So Chinchilla uses an efficient undo logging. Chinchilla first divides its non-volatile memory into coarse blocks, and each block has its own backup storage and a dirty bit. Before writing to a memory location, we first check the dirty bit of the corresponding block. If it is clean, Chinchilla first back up the block, mark the block as dirty, and only then update the memory. We do this for all the writes in the program, and if the system ever hits a power failure, Chinchilla can simply now roll back the changes made to the non-volatile memory by simply copying the block from its backup storage back to its original location. And on a successful checkpoint, Chinchilla can simply clear the dirty bit, and it has the same effect of discarding all the backed up storage. Again, this is a really stripped down version of how it works, and you can find more detail of how our undo log implementation works in the paper. Now, I'm going to show you some evaluation results. First, I'm going to show you some experimental setup. This is my experimental setup. We ran all the benchmarks in a WISP-5 energy harvesting platform, which harvests RF energy and runs TI-MSP430 microprocessor on it. We compared to two recent systems, Alpaca, which requires the programmer to manually place checkpoints, and Ratchet, which uses compiler to automatically insert checkpoints. And we compared to six application benchmarks from Alpaca paper. These are the six application benchmarks. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but these benchmarks has a different work that does encryption or machine learning inference or LZW compression and so on, which you might want to do on these edge devices. Now I'm going to show you some graphs. First, I'm going to show you that Chinchilla is indeed free from non-termination thanks to our checker. This graph shows you an energy consumption of each basic block in the program. On the x-axis, there are six application benchmarks that I just mentioned, and each has three different bars showing the energy use of, showing the minimum, average, and maximum energy use of each basic block in the program. On the very top, a solid black line indicates how much energy an energy buffer of the system can contain. You should note that the y-axis is in log scale, so as you can see, all the benchmarks are free from non-termination because all of the basic blocks inside use much less energy than the total energy budget. In fact, there is a 21x headroom, which means that Chinchilla is highly robust against non-termination. Now, I'm going to show you that Chinchilla can skip some of the necessary checkpoints efficiently. This graph shows you the number of checkpoints taken by each system for each applications. Again, on the x-axis, there are six application benchmarks, and each benchmark has three different bars showing the number of checkpoints taken by Chinchilla, Alpaca, and Ratchet. Again, you should note that the y-axis is in log scale. So as you can see, Chinchilla takes multiple orders less checkpoints compared to the other systems. This means that both the programmer of Alpaca or the automatic compiler of Ratchet failed in placing just the right number of checkpoints and placed multiple orders more checkpoints than is ever necessary. Chinchilla can learn the optimal interval of checkpointing and skip all the unnecessary checkpoints, checkpointing only when necessary. Now, I've explained about some of the benefits of our system. Now I'm going to show you end-to-end performance result to show that Chinchilla is indeed safe while also being efficient. I'm going to show you some number of bars, so I'm going to go step by step. On the x-axis, there are again application benchmarks. And some of the benchmarks this time has multiple different input parameters. For example, for RSA encryption, we have a 64-bit key version and a 256-bit key version. For each application benchmarks, we ran on two different platforms with different size energy buffer. For each platform, we ran Chinchilla, Alpaca, and Ratchet and plotted the execution time, which is slower the better. So sometimes Chinchilla is slower than others, but sometimes it is faster. And sometimes some of the systems go into non-termination, and we put a red cross in that case. Now you're ready to see my full result. I'm going to highlight some of the important ones. First, Chinchilla always succeeds in ending the application, while some of the systems fail to make progress and enter non-termination. This means Chinchilla is always safe from non-termination, while other systems may not be. Also, Chinchilla is efficient. If you look at the geometric mean, Chinchilla is showing almost similar performance to Alpaca. Recall that in Alpaca, the programmer has to manually place checkpoints to optimize for performance. And Chinchilla is fully automatic and does not need such manual optimization. Compared to another fully automatic system, Ratchet, Chinchilla shows 1.5x to 2.4x performance benefit. This means Chinchilla is both safe and efficient compared to recent programs. Now I'm going to go to conclusion. Chinchilla is free from non-termination, and Chinchilla is efficient, and Chinchilla is also easy to program because everything is fully automatic. Chinchilla is open to public, so if you're interested, you can visit my GitHub. And this is the end of my talk. Thank you. If you have any questions, feel free to ask.
Hi, so I'm Nirjar from UNC. So you said you were placing the checkpoints statically, then you were going to the basic blocks to see if there is something which is too long and splitting them up, and then you were dynamically checking to skip checkpoints, right?
Yeah.
So I'm saying, why place them statically at all if you have a timer and doing a dynamic checking? Why not just place them as you go?
So that's a very good question. So your question is, why do we ever place checkpoints statically instead of doing everything fully dynamic?
Because you already have the timer running.
Yeah, so that is a very good question, and that is also one way of doing it, but it's actually a little bit challenging than you might think, because now you have to think about, like, what if we checkpoint while we are doing undo logging, or what if we checkpoint while we are doing some I2C operation, or things like that. There's a lot of things that you can mess up, and we can try to mask all the things that can go wrong and make the system work, but instead, we decided that if we have a static point that we can never checkpoint, then it's easy to, like, prove the system being correct, and it's going to be also more simpler.
I see. Thank you.
Jonathan Behrens, MIT. I just wanted to ask, how long does it actually take to charge versus the time that you get to run?
Yeah, that's. It really depends on your actual environment. So we harvested on RF energy. So RF energy is usually very weak. So it's like we charge for like a order of seconds to run for order of like tens of milliseconds. But it really depends on your incoming energy. If you use a solar panel, you're gonna get more energy. So maybe you can charge more quickly. But for our experiment, it was in like a order difference.
All right. Thank you.
So I was curious, we've had a discussion earlier in the session about high-level languages versus C, and this system is targeting C code.
Yeah.
But I was wondering if there are any aspects of the system that might be simpler with a high-level language, especially one that doesn't have a lot of runtime component, like Rust, for instance.
So I think there might be some benefit, because when we are implementing undo logging, we were pushing a lot to the compiler for efficiency, but there was a problem with the pointer aliasing, because C has a very bad pointer aliasing. If we have a high-level language, maybe that can improve that part, but we certainly can't run something very nice like a garbage collection on these very power-constrained devices, so I guess that's going to be an interesting future work.